extra. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Remember, Jordan Mailata Show at 6 here at Chickies. Then the Players Lounge at 7 with IQ and Elliot. Guys, I'm self-conscious.
Yeah.
We're in these chairs.
Yeah.
And every time I cross my legs, I get people on the internet telling me, ripping me for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's how I'm comfortable. So do I sit here like, oh, look, I'm a man or whatever?
Yeah.
Or do I just be comfortable?
Why are your jeans ripped?
What do you mean, why are my jeans ripped? Have you seen me? Half my jeans are ripped.
You can tell Jack's never worn.
Yeah. Nah. Why are you wearing the same pants you wear every Monday?
Because I have two pairs of pants. Yeah. And when it's a little chillier, I put on the thicker one.
215-593-9494. Wade and Chester, you're on WIP.
Oh, man, that's funny. Every Monday, that's funny.
Well, it's true.
Well, yeah. It's also usually Monday through Friday.
Yeah. It's not just Monday.
Well, we got a work uniform. And just like the
yeah,
that's right. That's what they always say.
Yeah.
That game showed me that. It go back to what we were talking about before the season started. This is a step back year. Y'all agree that Nick Sirianni ain't doing whatever he want to do. He's the head coach. He don't own the team and do whatever. So he got to talk to his bosses about everything, like the off season. Him with KP. I'm pretty sure it was like the hiring went like, okay, all right, Nick, I'm gonna let you pick your OC, and we're gonna see what happens. Because Howie was okay with us not winning the Super Bowl or going back, and that showed the percentage that it's hard for us to do that. So, and then that's what's going on with the roster, how he patched up and called Brandon Graham back and then patched up with all these different people and little trades. So the roster's like, all right, we're going to see what happens. Let's see what the season go like. Let's go out there and let them go play so we can set up our team financially so we can have a dynasty. And it's okay the way they did it. I agree with the way they did it. But I'm just saying, they okay with whatever happened this year. They're okay with not winning the Super Bowl. And that's why they got KP out there, Joe. They let Nick, okay, Nick. We let you do it before we see what happens. They got this through that. You don't know what KP can do. We went there with no experience thinking we can go out there and pretend for our Super Bowl. Come on, man. And this is what it's going to be. So they is okay with this. And with, just like you said, I was thinking that before you even said it. A great mind thinking, that's why I called up. You can ask Jack. I'm like, yo, man, that game show with all them 40 passes, that was a showcase to try to trade the Bull. To see, we can get what he want to market. They're like, okay, let's see what he show the other teams what he got. We can go out there and try to get something for him. That's what it was. And then we're going to go in the playoffs, and they better run the ball. We're going to use them for running back. And that's playoff football anyway, so we're going to see how it goes. We're going to let's hope they do run Jalen more and everything. But this year was and it's okay because you don't go back and win Super Bowls back-to-back. We got to set up. We got to sign our people. We got to sign the D-line. We got to have our money right. We're going to make some changes on offense. And then everybody talking about, oh, man, all this time I thought it was Jalen. Only thing changed from the offense was Beckman didn't come back. We got a new OC. It's the same offense we won the Super Bowl with, and they're terrible. What changed? The offensive coordinator. But, you see, we had to get an offensive coordinator to help Nick out. Yeah, to help Nick out. So, Nick, you know what I'm saying? So, Nick, Howie and everybody were like, Nick, we don't want to hear nothing from you this year. We don't want to hear you want to do what you want to do. We got a program, and I agree with the program. We're going to run the program this way. They're going to set Nick up with an offensive coordinator that's not going to go nowhere, and Nick going to keep getting babysit by the bodyguard because he's acting crazy because he can't control himself. But that's him, though. So this is what it is. This is what we got. This is our head coach. This is the way that the Eagles set it up, and this is the way it's going to be, and this is what they got to live with, or they're going to get rid of the head coach. But we can't get rid of him because he got too much winning and all that. And I don't even want to get rid of him because, he's cool. He's a good head coach. He get the team popping and running. You got to need an OC. You need a DC. We got our DC. Now we got to find an OC, and we can be set and keep it running and keep going. But this was not – this was – Howie and them was okay. They're not going to go in there like, Nick, what the heck are you doing? You're getting in trouble, this and that. They're like, man, I told you. You wanted Nick. You want to go out there and show you what you do, you and your boy. And this is what y'all produce. So now I don't want to hear it, Nick. Sit where you belong, and we're going to hire who we hire. We're going to set it up the way it's supposed to be set up, the way we've been setting it up, and we're going to keep setting it up if we get rid of you. Because it ain't you, Nick. It ain't you.
I thank you for the call, Wade. I largely agree.
That's what they did with Doug.
Well, I largely agree in the offseason that they probably had an opportunity to double down and try to win this year, and they decided that they could win this year.
But they weren't going to go all in.
And I think it would be hard to look at the way that they treated their offseason and think about it any other way. And to their credit, you know, I thought that Jalen Phillips trade was good. You know, like they tried to do this patchwork thing, you know, with the cornerback. They tried to do it. They kept trying.
Sure.
That's how they attacked the offseason, you know?
Yeah, and we'll see if – listen, they're going to play next week, and I think we got everybody, right? I think everybody should be back next week.
Makuba, we don't know.
Oh, yeah, Makuba's the only one.
And Lane, I assume, but I don't know. He's supposed to have been back.
Not even on IR until he hasn't played in 2 months now.
I would assume Lane, right? But yes.
He practiced at the end of last week.
So. Did he?
Well, he was out there in uniform.
I don't know if he practiced.
Yeah, but, I don't know.
Come on, Lane.
I'll report it.
Yeah, Lane will be ready to go this week.
He'll be out there.
Well, I think we got everybody but Drew, right?
Drew, yes. Drew and Lane is it. N'Kobe, we don't know.
Yeah.
I assume N'Kobe.
Yes.
But I don't know.
It seems like N'Kobe's okay.
Seems
like
yes. Yeah. Is Calcaterra fine after yesterday?
He was out of the game,
yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. We do have a little bit of Phillies news. We'll do it in the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Kev Jackie Baseball.
I'm not the only baseball in town anymore.
What?
Because I know that was a kind of an
You're
odd way to
say
it.
Not the only baseball guy?
Well, no. It's just like Donnie Baseball.
Oh, and you're Jackie Baseball.
I'm Jackie Baseball.
Well, he's the real baseball. Donnie Baseball is the real
baseball. Well, he certainly was first.
Yeah, great stash.
Yeah.
Unbelievable stash.
Yeah,
he can grow it back now.
Look.
He can. Now he's another Yankee.
Right.
I could have grown it back with the Blue Jays and Marlins and chose not to and the Dodgers, but who cares?
If you are me and Ike's age, you lived through the dominant era of Don Mattingly. It was a short peak. It was probably 5 years.
Yep.
But you look at his stats for those 5 years, he was like the best hitter in baseball.
Yeah. You had Mattingly. You had Boggs.
Boggs, Gwynn.
Yeah, Gwynn.
Yep.
Yeah. Dale Murphy.
No,
George Brett? Was Brett a part of that?
Older
no,
George
Brett was older.
Older,
Yeah, I mean, Brett was still good at that
time. You're thinking late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah.
Is that where you're kind of going?
Mattingly's rookie year, I think, was 83 or 84,
okay. Yeah.
Which is the same time Gwynn came in.
Yeah.
It was the same time that Boggs came in.
Yeah.
And it was that. But he was one of those.
Okay, I didn't know they were all at the same time.
Yeah, but he hit for power where those other guys didn't really.
Right, yeah,
so,
yeah,
he was a great hitter.
Oh, yeah.
It's cool to have Don Mattingly as a Philly.
Yeah. Philly's bench coach, Don Mattingly.
Yes.
So I guess, listen.
Now, Spike, I know you get called, I'm going to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Is it a Nepo baby?
Yes, I am a Nepo.
What does this make Don?
You mean Preston?
Well,
yeah. Preston is the one who hired his father, so what is that?
Dabrowski hired the father.
Yeah.
Okay.
And him and Thompson are close from their Yankees days.
Okay.
So there's a long...
I thought there was a reverse thing there.
A reverse Nepo baby?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, Spike wants to sit down with both of them and explain how one has to manage his father.
Yes. Well, I mean, officially, Preston is Don Mattingly's dad on the org chart.
Yeah.
His boss. The org chart.
Yeah. So we'll see. Now, he said earlier today he has no interest in managing again. You know, I thought when the position came out...
Well, welcome to Philadelphia, Don, because
already.
if the Phillies start out 4-6, the entire city is going to want you to be the manager. So
100%.
Yeah.
So I was
introduce him to Tanner McKee.
Yeah.
He can tell you a little bit about how it works around here.
So when it first came out, they were looking for a bench coach. I thought they were going to go for someone younger that they thought could be a manager in training, or but I think this is just a true bench coach, like Jimmy Williams was for Charlie back in the day. So we'll see. Now
I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see. Maybe they do fine.
Yeah, didn't pass my smell test.
He's not old.
Yeah,
he's probably 58?
64.
Yeah.
64.
Well, how old was Rob when he got the job?
59?
Rob Thompson was 59?
Yeah, well,
but he probably has looked 59 since he was 30. And he's going to look 59 when he's 79.
That's a good point.
One of those dudes.
Do you think he dyes his hair?
Yeah.
It's no question.
Yeah. He dyes his hair.
Why would you ask that?
Come on,
it's
man.
So good looking. I mean, it's like straight black hair.
We got to ask him. Nah, look, I got a list of questions when we're down there with Clearwater.
Listen, Ben Yamin did the same thing until COVID.
He let it go.
A lot of people let it go after COVID.
Merrill.
Okay.
Well, I assume he didn't just go gray when he was, you know, his age.
215.
I would assume.
All right, we need to move on.
215.
Okay. No, I'm just assuming. I don't know for a fact, but all this, you know.
Okay. Now, Mattingly has been linked to the Phillies. I guess it took a while because I guess he had to officially wait for his contract to run out with the Blue Jays.
Okay.
Because he's basically been the de facto bench coach for a month and a half. So the big intrigue here now becomes Bo Bichette. who is a free agent, a Blue Jay. Apparently, they had a very good relationship up in Toronto. And the Phillies over the weekend, according to John Heyman, are one of the teams that have expressed interest in Bichette.
Oh, now, just one of them?
Yeah. Yeah, well, listen. So
one of how many?
Well, so the Blue Jays went and signed Okamoto to be a lot of people thought that was going to take them out of the running for Bo Bichette because – obviously, the money they committed to him. Apparently, it doesn't from Bob Nightingale, but who knows? I believe the Red Sox are in on him. The Yankees are in on him. The Phillies are in on him. So a lot of the AL East teams.
The interesting thing about the Yankees would be if they sign him, would Jazz Chisholm be available for trade?
They probably would have to trade him.
You know, and that's
or Ryan McMahon.
Now, I know Chuck would love Jazz Chisholm on the Phillies.
Yes.
And Bo Bichette was a shortstop with the Blue Jays, has shown willingness to play second base. He's never said anything about third, though.
He will have to probably move positions. Teams don't seem like they want him as a shortstop.
Yeah, so he'd be
Bichette.
Yeah.
So he'd be a third baseman here, you assume?
Yeah, or they could put Stott at third if they trade Boehm. He was the opening day third baseman in 2022, Stott was. So you're getting Bo Bichette to be the bat, two-time AL hit leader. Had a bad year 2 years ago, but also injuries bounced back this year, hit 311. So he's
311.
So it's not a power bat. Like he's probably a two hitter. And you go Turner, him, it's a pretty good 1-2 to start with, and then you go Harper, Schwarber, and there's some protection.
Schwarber's not batting fourth.
He's gonna be batting fourth.
Oh, he is.
We'll see. If they get Bichette, Bichette, he'll be batting for
How many T-shirts is Bryce Harper going to have to wear to get Kyle Schwarber to hit four?
He's going
to
hit four. Trust me. So the official hashtag, the official hashtag, courtesy actually of Mosh, which it kills me to give him credit.
Yeah.
Go get Bichette.
I like go get Bichette.
Go get Bichette.
How many do you think of Philly is going to spell Bichette properly?
Zero.
Has
Lakin got the shirt approved yet?
Oh yeah.
It feels
there
like a Lakinism.
I like go get Bichette.
Can Bichette hit cleanup?
No.
I mean, in modern day baseball, yes, he can hit cleanup.
Boehm is a cleanup hitter. Why couldn't Bichette be?
Bichette's a difference maker on offense. Boehm's empty stat.
If Bichette,
no, I'm just saying, he's an improvement in power. So why? I'm saying if they would put Boehm at four, why wouldn't they put Bichette at four?
Well, if they're going to put Bichette at four, they could put Bryce at two or one.
We're putting Bichette at
Bryce
two.
Bryce is not moving.
No one's moving. Welcome to the Phillies. We lose in the first round every year, but nobody's going to change anything.
We're putting Bichette at two, and we're putting Schwarber at four.
And they
and
better
that's
hope
that.
You
they
know
better,
Schwarber's not bad.
He better four a couple times last
and
year.
And you better hope when they sign JT Realmuto, he agrees to wear a Bichette jersey, because that's the only way that there's going to be a Bichette in the starting lineup for the Phillies this year.
Is what?
JT Realmuto signing with the Phillies,
oh,
and Bo Bichette is
and
not.
It's, I would be disappointed at this point if they re-sign JT, which means they're going to re-sign JT.
Yes, yeah.
I'm already waiting for the pass and notification, and then I'm like, oh, okay,
and
JT.
A player option for the third year.
Or the guarantee in 3 years and the player options for the fourth year.
Yeah, there
to
you
make
go.
Sure they. So I can't tell if the
fourth
Bichette,
year.
I can't tell if the Bichette thing was put out there because they're really in on them, or
they're
put pressure on JT to make a decision.
215-592-9494. Don Mattingly, new bench coach for the Phillies, and maybe they're in on Bo Bichette.
Hashtag go get Bichette.
Go get Bichette. We will get back to the Eagles conversation next. Do you think it was a mistake for them not to play the starters yesterday? They did have an opportunity at the two seed. They basically passed it up. We will also hear from Nick Sirianni coming up next as well. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. You can catch all the Eagles action at the official sports bar of the Eagles, Chickies and Pete's.
Hey, FanDuel is giving all customers a profit boost every college playoff game day. That means more chances to level up your picks and turn big moments into an even bigger win. Ride with the favorite, take a shot at the underdog, or build a parlay, then apply your profit boost and go for bigger winnings. FanDuel is the best place to get into the football action all playoff long. And when you win, you'll get paid instantly. So visit FanDuel.com/local to get your college playoff profit boost today.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Mount Rushmore.
So 3:30 country happening at 3:16 or so on Mondays.
Doesn't hit the same?
It's probably shocking a lot of people who are expecting it at 3:30, get a little early.
You want to replay it at 3:30?
No. Just in the middle of Nick.
Man, this song, Bloomsburg, K karaoke late at night.
A bunch of you idiots pretending you're from down south.
Talk about a problem.
You drunk morons.
Talk about a problem.
You pissing your scholarship away with cheap beer.
Yeah.
Come on, laziness.
Man. Dude, $9.99 Jenny Cream Ales? You kidding me?
Majoring in failure at Bloomsburg.
Well, we got here. The GPA the first year was bad.
What was it?
Dude, I think it was like a 2.3, maybe.
Ah, that's passable.
No, I might be lying. I think it was 1.7 in my major.
There you go.
And then 2.3 right. out of it.
I definitely was below 2 my first semester.
Really?
It was hard to manage sports and class.
I wasn't even playing.
Neither was I. You're talking about dedication to the craft.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So there's a drop point of the class where you can just drop it and it doesn't affect your grade?
Yes.
So my math class coincided with the beginning of practice. So I'd always get to be late to practice. So I was already failing this class and knew I was going to drop it, but stayed in as long as I could.
So you didn't have to practice.
You are such a loser.
That's where he and I differ.
Yeah.
You missed class to go to practice. Yeah. Yes.
Unbelievable.
Value my education.
Somehow I was a better student in college than I was in high school. I was a horrible student in high school, and I got to college.
I figured I was too. I was a better student in college than I was in high school.
Yeah, I don't know how. I did fail one class. Failed music appreciation.
Oh,
really?
Yes.
Seems like the wrong one for you.
Got a straight up F. It was way harder than I thought it was going to be.
You probably had takes on all of it. That's why you had the issue.
Yeah, well, music appreciation?
What's that?
Music appreciation.
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
I took cinema appreciation.
I didn't know it was going to be like a... Dude, they were talking about the Renaissance and stuff. There were all these side things I had to do at the library. Yeah. And, dude, I just remember the first test I took. He wrote things in that little blue booklet that I wrote in there. I was just making stuff up. I mean, I had no idea. Yeah, I failed it.
Yeah.
That was the only one I failed. 215-592-9494. Big V in Mount Laurel. Oh, goodness gracious. Big V in Mount Laurel, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Big V.
Big V.
God bless you and your family.
You and yours as well. Hey, listen, congratulations on that defensive coordinator position that he's going to get you.
Yeah, I heard. So he's been basically putting out there that he's putting his name in the hat for the head coaching job in Atlanta. And I get to be his defensive coordinator. Yes.
Well, you were a Falcon great.
Yeah.
Now, if Doug Gottlieb can host the show and coach at the same time, I would position that you guys have to keep your jobs at WIP while hosting the Falcons.
Yes. I like that.
Oh, yeah. He was taking you too, Spike.
Oh, really? What am I going to do?
I think he said you would be like the offensive something because you always offend a lot of people.
Okay. Do PR for him, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll take the job. Listen, we'll be there maybe through the first year, but we'll have fun.
Yeah, it should be great. I look forward to this. But listen, first comment was the Tanner McKee situation. I mean, you can tell. I know there was a lot of chatter for the last couple of months when Jalen was going through that rough patch about Tanner taking his place.
Right.
And, you know, when seeing him yesterday, he's just not ready. I mean, yeah, and yes, it's true. He didn't play with any of the starters. However, some of his actions, you know, indicate that even with the starters, he wouldn't be ready. He's not athletic enough to, you know, pull that ball down and run for positive gain. He hasn't acquired the skill to, you know, buy some time for the receivers with his feet, and he's a very bad read on the blitz. And the thing is they were blitzing him early on.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you think they would have played if it was a starting offensive line, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert in there?
Give them a lot more shorter passes. I think he probably would have done okay, but here's the other thing that really hurt Tanner. It was some bad calls that they were giving him, you know, to perform. I mean, they spent, you know, the first half passing and running to the right, then the second half passing and running to the left. Everything was just so vanilla, it was predictable.
Well, I think part of the issue is you have a bunch of guys who are not taking first-team reps.
Yeah, they can only run so much.
Yeah, like I think it's hard. I understand what I understand everyone who was frustrated with the Tanner McKee conversation 3 weeks ago to look at that and say, look, I told you. I think there are things that that you said that are accurate. He's not a mobile QB. Neither is Matt Stafford. And I think most QBs at this point, not most, there's more mobile QBs, guys that can move that aren't. It has changed in the league where I think the standard is that the guy can move a little bit instead of the standard being that the guy can't move. However, I do think it is tough to make any judgment at all about Tanner McKee being a good quarterback in the NFL on yesterday's game. I think you'd be making a bad bet if you bet one way or another, just like I think you've been making a bad bet if he lit it up. I think it would probably say a lot more than him failing the way that he did yesterday, actually, that I think of it.
I mean, right now you got to call it what it is. I mean, he's a good developmental prospect. He is accurate, though, you know, the second half he wasn't as accurate. He's an accurate thrower. He's got great timing with, you know, the receivers that he had for such a short period of time. So, I mean, there is some potential with him. But saying that, you know, right now he could jumping in Phil Jalen's shoes, that's really saying a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you for the
But I never saw that at this stage of his career. He just doesn't have a lot of seasoning. I think there's some potential there, but he needs to play. Like, you got to get used to the game speed.
Yeah.
You know, also what you saw as the game went on yesterday, he got hit a little bit more. That affects you the rest of the game.
You had happy feet
all of a sudden. Yeah, it starts to affect you when you get hit out there. So, you know, I wouldn't say I'm discouraged by anything. I just think that isn't a big enough sample size to go either way on him, and you would definitely need more game footage. Like, he needs more game seasoning. To me, he's the type of player that you put with a team that's young, that's not ready to win now, and the roster is still developing. You can't put him in a situation and say, well, let's go out and win big games now against the Rams or the Green Bay Packers, you know, teams that have championship aspirations.
Also, I think
and that's what it would be if you're playing for the Eagles.
Yes, and also I think to the end that if he had to play three games in the middle of the season that were all games that they deemed games they had to win, which was yesterday was not it, he was playing with the starters, you do something a little more conservative,
right,
and you probably end up winning football games. I don't think that you can't win football games with Tanner McKee as your quarterback.
Especially with this defense.
Yes, right.
You can do it because you're not going to ask him to do as much. I think we went either 4-1 or 5-1 with A.J., in 2001, when Donovan got hurt.
Oh, with A.J. Feely, right.
Yep,
yeah,
Donovan broke his ankle. And then Coy came in and started the next game, but then Coy got injured and was done for the season. So A.J. had to start. And that was A.J.'s rookie year.
Yeah.
And so, but I think we either went 4-1 or 5-1 with A.J. the rest of the way. And that was his rookie season. So that just gives you an example of a small sample size there. Didn't ask him to do a ton.
Yeah.
But he also had Andy as his coordinator, de facto coordinator and coach, that could put an offense around him, and we had Deuce and Correll. So we had a running game and a defense that you didn't ask him to do a whole lot.
4-1.
We went 4-1?
Yep.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I actually wonder.
6 TDs, 5 picks, by the way.
Yeah.
Well,
okay. I didn't remember his stats.
I actually wonder.
Thanks, Fritz.
Your point earlier, and I think Chuck's point too, both, you know, around the same point of part of them, what they wanted to do yesterday was go out and show what he could do, mm-hmm. or whether they're proving it to other teams, proving it to the media, proving it to themselves,
yeah.
whatever it is.
Yep.
I think that is also, I mentioned just sort of like the Eagles outsmarting themselves a little bit, is like, if you want to do that, I don't think you can do that with your whole backup team. To think that they can go in and just muscle the starting commanders with your backup players, like, let's just think about this offense with the starters this year, with A.J. Brown, with Devontae Smith, with Dallas Goedert, with Saquon Barkley, with the starting offensive line. We've had stretches this season where the offense couldn't do anything.
Sure.
So
we led the league in three and outs.
Yeah, if you want to go out there and make some point with Tanner McKee, I don't think the best way to do that is to make that point with with the skill players who are not your better skill players.
Yeah.
So at that point, I would have even played Sam Howell yesterday. You know, maybe some of the best thing about the value of Tanner McKee is not seeing him. Is like you only
see him. Oh,
there
is some
him,
of it, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Is that maybe some of the allure of him, if you're going to trade him, is like he's only looked good so far.
Mm-hmm.
He's only looked good, you know, and you got to go in that and light it up against that with backups. I just think it was a tough spot, and it was a misjudgment from the Eagles yesterday.
So if you're a team out there, would you rather have Tanner or Malik Willis?
Well, I'd rather have Malik Willis.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But I think
higher draft pick, a little more upside.
He's been in the league for 5 years, has started games, important games for a good team. And remember also, Malik Willis was not going out there with the backup Packers either. He was out there with the starting Packers.
That's right.
So
that's true.
215-592-9494. Paul in Wood Lynn, you're on WIP. What's up, Paul?
Hey, what's up, Spike, Ike, Jack? How's it going today?
What's up, Paul?
What's up, Paul? I mean, come on, Paul.
Yeah, man, it's been a while. But, man, I was upset all week that we wasn't playing the starters. I was mad. I'm like, what the heck? I really valued that number two pick. And after
you mean the number
the
two
game,
seed?
Yeah, number two seed. Yeah. Watching the game, I'm like, I don't know, maybe, like, could you imagine, like, if Quinyon got hurt or something? We got to play Gilly or one of them corners? Like, yeah. I don't know. Even after we lost, I was upset, but I just thought about it more like, yeah, we definitely can't afford. Like, our depth is not good, man. Our depth is not good. So
that's true.
I wanted the starters to play, but after the game, I'm like, you know what? We definitely can't afford to lose one of our corners or one of our bad defenders. Like, so I was cool with it. Nah, man, but
yeah, why are you so out of breath,
Paul? What do we got going on here?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, yo, Kelly Ringo had to make one of the.
No, don't care. Time out. Why are you out of breath?
Because I just came in the door and ran up my steps.
Okay, all right.
I'm old,
okay.
Man. I'm an old guy.
Yeah, well, I didn't know if you were. Another. I don't know if you're doing two things at once.
Kind of sounds like it.
Okay. All right.
One more thing, man. Yeah. All year, you know, I'm not going to talk bad about Tanner because all year I've been saying it's been and Ben Petullo. And man, it's Petullo. Like Tanner's a good coach. Our offensive game plans, bro, they're worse. There's no rhythm, no nothing. Like, come on. Like, I am a Jalen, you know, supporter. Jack and all of them know that. So y'all probably, oh, you just. But we need to get somebody to play call plays next year. This guy is not the guy, man. I agree with exactly what Chuck said. I said the same thing to my pupils. I was watching the game. He trying to either. Now, Ike brought up that point. That could be it, too. But I initially thought they was trying to make Jalen look bad. Like, he coming out here throwing the ball 40 times. Like, man, the game plan was just crazy, man. I don't know. I think we can win the Super Bowl, but our OC and head coach might be our downfall, man. All right, man. Y'all boys enjoy. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you for the call, Paul.
I tell you, our OC, now they may. Listen, we'll let the games play out and see how it plays out. But the players don't get let off the hook here. I mean, the offensive line has been struggling all year.
Petullo or not Petullo, the offensive line is
exactly,
not the good this
year. And Jalen has had his moments where he hasn't been on point throwing the football and things of that nature. And then, yeah, you can also throw the coaching in there as far as I've never been big on the whole schematic part of it, but I understand where everybody focuses in on that. For me, it's always been about having complementary football, you know, having a rhyme and a reason as to why you're running this play that leads to the next play, and you got an idea of what you're doing and where you're getting the rhythm. For me, it always feels like we're doing everything in that moment versus having a plan as to what we're going to do. They've recognized something. Now let's attack this or attack that.
Well, it just speaks to the whole season has felt disjointed. I think given all of the disjointed stuff, the offensive coordinator stuff, the AJ stuff, the fact that they are in the situation that they are all seems like an accomplishment. To be the three seed seems like an accomplishment to me. I mean, everything that's happened, and it's all fair, it's all still right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree that the offense is sort of like a metaphor for the entire season. Nothing. And Jordan has said a couple of times to us, Jordan Mailata, during the Jordan Mailata show, is that the offense has been better. You know, he was talking about Raiders game and then the Commanders game because we're all on the same page now. And like, It's always been a strange thing that he said that to me, because I've always wondered, well, he's not going to tell me.
Yeah, but it certainly implies.
Who?
Right.
You know, who's on the same page? Are you talking about KP and Jalen? Are you talking about KP and Nick? Are you talking about the offensive linemen? They're still, even in the Buffalo game, and we talked about this, they're still talking to each other so much right before a play. You see wide receivers say, are you doing this? Or am I doing that? And the entire thing seems incredibly disjointed. And I just, I wonder, now if they go to the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, I find it hard to believe they're going to make a change in offensive coordinator. Maybe. But if they lose in the first round and it's because of the offense, it will be a tough thing to withstand to bring back Petullo next year, I think.
No, I agree. But that's Nick's hire.
Yeah.
He's still a coach. Do they reassign Petullo and just bring in another coordinator? I mean, you don't have to fire him. Just demote him.
Yeah.
Make him a QB coach or whatever he was prior to. I guess that certainly. But that, to me, would be obviously upstairs and what they felt about this. And that's the thing that we don't know is how does Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie feel about the OC combination? Like, do they think it's holding them back, or do they think it's the players, i.e. the quarterback, that's potentially holding them back? Or is it just one of those years where the offensive line is banged up and they haven't been necessarily effective? So that's had a negative impact on just about everything else they do. I don't know how the front office feels about this.
Well, to me, I just don't understand – It just does. Well, here is Nick Sirianni. I'll tell you what I don't understand in a moment.
And then go to Ruben Frank.
Hey, Nick. I was wondering, when you rewatched the tape, what stood out to you about the way Tank Bigsby played? And what do you think his specific skill set brings to the offense when he's on the field?
Yeah, he runs hard. He's got extremely good ability to make you miss while also being able to, you know, put his shoulder down and finish off runs through contact. I thought he did a lot of good things. You saw him on a check down. They got a big gain on a check down, getting him the ball in space there when you're able to go through it and then be able to get the ball to the back. That's a lot of space for him, and he made some guy miss and picked up a big play. So I thought he did a lot of good things, and those are some of the things like that we value about him. He goes, you know, the way he walks through, the way he practices, it really does show up in the game with how hard he runs and how hard he plays.
We'll go to Rube and then Dave Zangaro.
Hey, Nick, what's the value of having a quarterback going into the playoffs who's got the experience in the postseason and the success that Jalen has had?
Yeah, I think that big time. You know, obviously Jalen's a great player and has had a lot of big game experience. The amount of big games we play on a yearly basis in our regular seasons, you know, are huge. And then, you know, played, you know, how many playoff games is this now? 8, 9, somewhere in there.
This will be his 10th.
This will be our 10th. All right. So, you know, that's huge, right? You know, every time he steps out in the field, I feel like Jalen does a great job of, you know, continuing to raise his level of play. He has a ton of experience, and the quarterback we're playing has a lot of experience too, in the playoffs, a lot of respect to them. I think that's valuable. You know, I think when we first started, I think, back in 22, you guys kind of asked me something in the sense of like, well, none of you guys have played in like the big games. And I think what I said was, well, a lot of these guys have played in big college games and national championships. Now they've still played on big college games, national championships, and also the biggest stages in the National Football League as well. So I think that serves good for our team, and I think most definitely for Jalen.
We'll go to Dave and then Brooks Cubino.
Thank you.
Nick, it looks like you're going to be relatively healthy going into the playoffs. I know some of that is obviously out of your control and the team's control, but how much pride do you and the organization take in getting these guys pretty healthy into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it's good question, Dave. I think it's always a fine line of like, there's two things that need to happen, right? You got to have your players available, and you do different things to make sure that happens throughout the year. But it is so important that you continue to get better as the season goes on. And I think our guys have a great balance, and we do a good job of balancing, you know, that intensity at practice. There's no balance of the intensity at practice when we're out there. You know, we're ripping it, but I think we know how to our guys know how to practice. They know how to practice efficiently. So, you know, we've had a tendency of getting better while also having guys healthy. And so, you know, we continue to tweak the process of what we do. Great people in this building that help us make decisions. There's a lot that goes into that. And then you got guys that are truly committed to this game because they love this game and they want to be the best versions of themselves they possibly can be. That, you know, you could have all the resources in the world if the guys aren't using them, you know, it's for nothing. But our guys do such a good job of using the resources they have, taking care of themselves, and I think we have a pretty good process. So, yeah, as an organization, I think we take a lot of pride in that.
We'll go to Brooks and then Jeff McClain.
To follow up what you said to Ruben's question there, I'm curious about the aspect Jalen has played in the biggest games, college and Super Bowl. So, like, you've been around other players, other quarterbacks before. So what does that tangibly look like in a game, in a moment? Are there kind of memories for you that show up that are difference makers for someone that has been in that situation and when they haven't?
Yeah, you know, again, Jalen's played in the biggest of games. And I just think, you know, what you see from Jalen is you see this steadiness at all times. As you get into the playoffs, you know, we treat everything the same, and we're going to go about this week, our process, the exact same way we've went about everything. But you love his consistency in his approach. You love his consistency and his steadiness at any moment of the game. And so, again, those are things that are so important of how just, again, game, you know, game in, game out, within, in between series, play to play, he's just got a great mental toughness about himself to be able to forget about what happened in the past, good, bad, indifferent, and play the next play with extreme laser focus. And I think that's a great quality to have.
We'll go to McClain and then John McMullen.
Hey, Nick, I guess at this point, we know that Jalen hasn't been as much a part of the run game all season, but you also got him through the year without getting hurt or missing any time. I guess my question to you is, do you think that in some ways affected the run game and how you guys weren't as successful on the ground this year? And then the follow-up to that would be, is that something that just is the offense at this point, or can you turn that switch on, or does it even make sense to do it at this point in the postseason?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see as we continue to game plan for this team. Obviously, we'll see, you know, the direction we go in with some of those things. You know, Jalen is ability to run, pass, get us in and out of good plays, right? I think he can do a lot of things really, really well, outstanding. And, you know, some of those runs that he has that we have done has come off scrambles. Some of them have come off of designed runs. And again, like I said, each week calls for something different, you know, based off of what you're seeing, based off of what you do. And we'll go through our process like we always do and find out the best way we want to attack this particular week against a really good group of players over there and great coaches. I have so much respect for this team that is coming in here on Sunday. I can't tell you how much respect I have for the players over there and the coaches over there led by Kyle.
We'll go to John and then Martin Frank.
Hey, Nick. Similar to, sorry, got a bit of a voice thing. Similar to Jalen Hurts and his experience, it's your 10th playoff game as the head coach. How much have you grown and the core members of your staff that have still been here grown through that process and become better sort of playoff coaches?
Yeah, I think, again, if we're constantly asking the players to continue to work on themselves, become the best versions of themselves, then we got to do the same thing. And that's what we strive to do, is be hypercritical on ourselves through through every game, through every practice, through everything. My job is to hold everybody accountable, not just the players, but the coaches, and constantly be in this growth mindset. So if I truly answered your question and said, yeah, we're a little bit better, like I truly believe we have busted our ass to be, you know, the best version that we are right now. But we got to keep getting better. Like there's no, that's this league. You got to continue to grind. You got to continue to try to get better. And I think we've done that, and we'll continue to work like crazy, you know, to get better. And you know, that's the mindset our team has. That's the mindset our players have. That's the mindset our coaches have.
We have time for a couple more, so we'll go to Martin and finish with Zach Berman.
Hey, Nick, to see a guy like Jalix Hunt, the way he's blossomed this year, how gratifying is that for you? And what has he brought to the edge rusher room and going forth in the playoffs as far as his expectations?
Yeah. I was always taught in this game, it's, you know, as a college coach, it's recruit, retain, develop, right? And that is something we take great pride in, and Howie's done a great job of getting guys in here with the right mindset that want to be great at football, that love the game of football, that are tough, that are, you know, that have high football IQ. And then as coaches, once those guys are in here, our job is to develop them through the fundamentals, through the schemes, through the weight room, through every phase of life. And so, you know, you take a lot of pride in that when a guy continues to get better. But all the credit goes to Jalix himself, because he's the guy that is, you know, put the work in. First of all, you know, he had the right things in his body to allow him to be able to be the type of player that he is right now. And he'll continue to get better. But he also has the right things in here. You know, he has, you know, he loves the game of football. He's tough. He wants to be great. He works at it. He's got great work ethic. And so the combination of all those, like, again, our job as coaches to develop them with our schemes and to develop them through the fundamentals and holding them accountable, you know, bringing the right guys in by Howie and then the player themselves. That's where you tend to see the guys reach, you know, God willing, reach their ceiling. And I think, you know, that he's a product of that. And he's continuing to get better, and look forward to watching him continue to play and grow.
We'll close out with Zach here.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. In the NBA, sometimes with like championship level teams, you hear they can flip a switch. You know, you guys are an experienced team, as you've discussed on this call. Do you think that, you know, there's a for lack of a better term, a switch that can be flipped? Or do you think kind of who you are is what you are going into the postseason?
You know, we're going to continue to bust our ass to be the best version of ourselves that we can possibly be. That's what we've been doing from week one of training camp back to OTAs. That's what we'll continue to do. You know, and so we'll do it as coaches. We're up there working right now to put together the best plans we can. Players will come in with a mindset of, you know, getting a little bit better each day, focusing on just this game, not anything else. But the San Francisco 49ers, and yeah, the best way I know how to get ourselves ready to win a football game is by what you do throughout the week with your preparation, as coaches, as players, through your practices, through your walkthroughs, to your meetings. It's all that work. You win games Monday through Saturday, and then by going and executing on Sunday and coaching well on Sunday. And so it all matters, and that's what we'll work on this week as we move forward.
Thanks, Coach. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, we do appreciate your time. There he is, Coach Nick Sirianni. I do think they can flip the switch in the playoffs. I think sitting the starters yesterday was sort of indicative of that. I don't believe they can. I mean, like, I think even last year, those first two games in the playoffs were offensively,
yeah, they weren't the best.
They weren't great. I think they can. I think they can get through the NFC, but I do think they think that they're maybe a little bit better than they are.
Ooh, bro, if they get through the NFC, they're winning the Super Bowl.
Well, I I mean, they could.
I mean, I think the best teams over here. I do. I think the toughest route is through the NFC.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, once you get to the Super Bowl, absolutely, yes. Sure. I think the best teams are in the NFC, and I still think the Rams are the best team, but they're not going to play a home game.
Right.
So they're in a tough spot to do it.
And it's not going to be easy
to go to Seattle.
No. That will not be easy.
No. And the reason that Seattle, you know, when people talk about Super Bowl odds, Seattle is the current favorite to win the Super Bowl. It's not because of the team Seattle has. It's because Seattle will only play two games instead of three, and they will both definitely be at home.
Yes.
So that just gives them winning two games instead of winning three games to get to the Super Bowl gives them a massive advantage.
Yeah.
You know?
It does. And when you're a defensive-led team, you want to be at home because you got the crowd noise behind you.
Yep.
Right, like that's what you want on the road. It's hard. You don't have the crowd noise, and now your offense has to deal with crowd noise on the road. You're at home. You're feeding off that energy from the crowd.
I also think a quarterback who has won playoff game in his entire career playing at home is a better situation for Darnold than playing on the road.
Yep.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Dreaming of another chip? Make her feel like a world champion every day with a custom diamond ring from Mark's Jewelers online at marks-jewelers.com. So my experiment has failed. Actually, everybody proved that they are being honest. So Jack asked the question earlier, are you glad that the Eagles rested their starters yesterday? And 63% said yes. I told him to ask the question in a different way. Should the Eagles have played their starters to go for the number two seed? No, 61.7%. So, and asking the question in a different way did not affect the way that people are looking at the game.
Yeah, and listen, like you said, I think people are being honest. I think there are people out there that value the rest. And sure, they may have thought, you know, consolation prize or cherry on top would be if we do win and the Bears lose, we'll get the number two seed. But the rest is more important. Now, I didn't necessarily feel that way. I think getting the number two seed would have been the thing to do. Having those two games at home, again, I just mentioned about a defensive-led team like we are. Can you imagine having the opportunity to play two teams in here in our building with our defense? That would have almost put you in the NFC Championship game. Now we have to wait and see what happens somewhere else to see what that second round looks like. So, but the rest was important for everybody. Now the players have to go out and make the coach right about that decision.
Yes, because they all seem fine with it.
Right.
They all want to play as football players, I think.
You're right. But
they
like
were fine
everybody
with
was okay.
It. Yeah. Nobody was throwing a tantrum over having the day off yesterday. Yeah. I looked it up. So since 2000, home teams have won 67% of their games in the playoffs in the NFL. And even going back to 1970, it's like 65% of the games.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty big advantage. Now, the thing that also adds up to that is the home team is usually the better team, or they wouldn't be playing at home.
Sure.
So, they will have at least one home game, potentially two. Look, I don't know. It could work out in a way where they're home all three, because the only time they're going to play the number two seed will be in the divisional round. They can't play the two seed in the NFC Championship game.
Right.
Because if the two seed wins and they win, then they're playing in the divisional round.
Yeah. Listen, I can remember the losses at home. We lost to Tampa at home. We lost to Carolina at home. I'm talking about playoffs games.
Oh, yeah.
Tampa in the championship game. Carolina in the championship game.
Packers.
Packers in the first round.
Yeah. The Saints. That was the Vic year?
Yep.
Yeah.
The Saints with Nick Foles. And then Seattle.
Yeah, Carson.
With the one with Carson. I think those are the five playoff losses that we have since 2000.
Oh, I was talking about whole NFL. You're just talking about the Eagles.
I'm just thinking about the Eagles. Yeah. Just, it just says how important it is to have that home game, to have that home playoff game.
Absolutely. And I think they sort of lucked out with the draw and not getting the Rams.
Did I see a stat? We're the second best team at home in the playoffs since 2000.
Oh, really? That's certainly possible.
I think I saw that.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a different stat. No, I think we got the best home record, second best to Buffalo. Over the last two or three years, I believe. Over the last 3 years.
Just overall,
at home.
Yeah.
And it's just, again, going back to how well we play at home versus being on the road.
And the only two away NFC Championship games would have been Arizona and 01.
And the Rams, yeah.
Because the ones here, they won.
Yeah.
And that Rams team, pretty good.
Yeah, greatest show on turf.
Pretty good team.
We had them on the ropes, though, Spike. We had the lead at halftime. We had it, man. I don't know what happened in the second half. Marshall Faulk woke up.
Yeah, pretty good player.
Well, people forget you know, if healthy Ike Reese plays in that game.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. That damn Liz Frank.
Man. Yeah, man.
Took you down.
The what ifs. There are so many what ifs.
Everyone brings up if only Ike played.
Yep. You know, he's a playmaker over here.
Yeah.
You never know when he's coming up with a big play.
Nobody even know that I didn't play in that game.
All I know is this. All I know is this. No disrespect to Jordan Hicks. Haven't seen a 58 make plays in coverage like Jalen Hunt.
Oh, he had three interceptions this year.
Since I
he leads the team in interceptions.
Well, and sacks.
That safety in him is coming out.
Dude, he's incredible. He's awesome.
That interception was incredible.
Yeah.
He leads the Eagles in safety in interceptions and sacks.
Yeah.
And pressures.
Yeah.
When was the last player to lead their team in interceptions and sacks?
Well, he's the first Eagle to ever do it.
Yeah. I mean, it can't be something that happens all the time.
No. I can't imagine.
No, you would need somebody who gets a lot of interceptions. Willie T was a big interceptor. Seth. Well, no, it's the first time it happened with the Eagles. First time it happened.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of somebody. It seems pretty rare. And congratulations to the New York Jets for going an entire season without one interception.
That is the most outrageous thing I've ever heard.
That's a stat that's never going to be broken.
No, that seems Ripken-like. Yeah. 215.
A whole year that nobody on the team got an interception?
Not even by accident.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And Aaron Glenn was a corner.
Yeah. 215-592. He should get out there. 215-592-9494. Donovan McNabb joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
The hunt is on. Eagles playoff football has arrived. Fire up your game day with Dietz & Watson premium meats, artisan cheeses, and condiments from Dietz & Watson. Don't forget Dietz nuts, meat snacks, perfect on the go and packed with protein. Dietz & Watson, proudly fueling Philadelphia playoff runs since 1939. Find game day recipes and retailers at DietzandWatson.com. Dietz & Watson, it's a family thing.